Mr. Chair, too.
Absolutely.
There's some familiar faces.
It's nice to see you.
Let's talk about the 1957 Chevrolet Sirman. Anyhow, right. My name is Ken Love. I'm president of the Neighborhood Association, top of the morning to each and every one of you. And local residents see Southwest Corbett as a gateway into the small historic South Portland neighborhood that we're all very proud of. Unfortunately, Southwest Corbett is also viewed as a convenient cut through for drivers wishing to access downtown Portland or to the north or commercial areas to the south. It is my belief that the Corbett Traffic Calming Project will help return Corbett to feeling like a residential street where children and fellow neighbors can walk, ride, and move about safely. I appreciate the time and effort that PDOT staff has taken to interact and listen to the neighbors' ideas and concerns and desires to have a more livable neighborhood. And if there was ever an example of a city agency and communities, neighbors working together to achieve an attainable goal, this was the class act. This was done very well. So I strongly endorse the design as presented by PDOT.
And I want to thank you for all your work in helping to organize the neighborhood to interact with this process. It's been absolutely invaluable.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm Lee Bueller, and I live at 018 Southwest Hamilton Street. And I just came in today to say I'm really excited about this project. I hope you can support it. I think it's going to bring a great benefit to our neighborhood. And I like the way the project was done, was getting so much citizen input. And they had, you know, several open houses. Everybody that wanted to have a say had a say. And I really feel like I don't know anybody that has any reservations about this. Everybody I know is really excited about this. So I hope you can support it. One thing I wanted to mention, your first speaker today, I think her name was Emma, talked about we need to walk and bike more. And that's one thing I really like about this project. It's going to slow down the traffic. It's going to make it a lot easier to walk and bike. And a lot of people from our neighborhood work downtown. I used to work downtown, and one day I said, well, I'll try to walk. And walking is good. It's a good route. It's a more direct route for me to walk on Barber, but the cars are just going by so fast. And Corbett is a lot better, and this is going to make it a lot better. And then Councillor Liberty talked about people want to live close to downtown. This is a choice, and I think our neighborhood has had more growth than any other neighborhood in the city. I might be wrong, but with South Waterfront and things. And I can understand that because I live there. I like it. It's a great place to live. One of the consequences, though, is, of course, traffic congestion. And I don't know, there's times in my neighborhood where the traffic is basically at a standstill. And Dr. Robertson, OHSU, came to talk to us a while back, and that's a big concern of theirs, too, because they want to grow in the neighborhood, and this traffic congestion. And I think one of the aspects of Corbett traffic calming, more bike commutes and pedestrian. There's not too much more room to build roads for cars, but there's a lot of room for bikes and pedestrians. So anyway, that's one of the major benefits of this plan tonight. I really appreciate the hard work that was done for it, and thank you, you guys. I hope you can support it. Thanks.
My name is Jennifer Danluck, and I live off Corbett Avenue at Whitaker Street and also in Ross Island Grocery and Cafe. And I think it's a testimony that 4 out of the 7 working committee members came today to praise this project, and that was a big part of Elizabeth Mann's work. This project was very well run. I thought it was great that there was a female project manager and a female engineer. And I know there are lots of Portland city streets that need traffic calming and work done on them, and I think that we're lucky to have this work done on Corbett Avenue.
My name is Christopher Dorn. I live on Corbett Avenue, and I'm just thinking, listening to these others that this must be music to your ears, remembering that this is the neighborhood under the tram. And of course, we need this project, and I'm glad it's progressed as it has. And I just want to say that I thought the city worked very well with us. And we did have those meetings. They were well attended. And after all, this is a very eclectic neighborhood as well. And there was pretty much unanimous support for it. In fact, there was unanimous support for it. So I thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Yes. And Jennifer, thank you for providing such a great community center in your restaurant, grocery store.
I appreciate that.
I just think that's great for what you do for that community and our community.
Thank you.
Thank you. Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
That was all who signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Elizabeth, thank you for delivering another great project. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And also thanks to Roland Schapowski in my office. Aye.
Leonard?
Nice work, Commissioner Adams. Nice work. Very much appreciate it, Elizabeth. And thank you to the neighborhood for your nice comments. It's very refreshing. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is great. I want to thank Commissioner Adams. Thank you, Elizabeth. And thanks to the South Portland neighborhood for getting some good improvements. And thank the City Council for funding it, actually making it happen. So
thank
good
you,
work.
Dan.
Aye.
Stan.
Well, I guess it's okay to be redundant in thanking people. Thanks, Elizabeth. And thanks, Sam. And thanks to the neighborhood. I do recall when we were debating the tram, and there was that was one of the votes I remember saying very clearly, I don't think you can just mitigate this. This is something that there's a reason that people, if you don't like it, it's hard to see why you will like it. But one thing we can do is, if we go forward on the tram, is get serious about putting some of the commitments into and some of our best people and money into improving some of the problems that are there in the neighborhood. And I don't think we were done with this. We have a pedestrian bridge and some other things that still need to get done. But I think this is a major step forward to making good on that promise. And for doing that, I really appreciate everyone's collaboration and hard work. Aye.
Potter.
And I want to thank Commissioner Adams and the staff did a great job and the community. I think you've got one of the great neighborhoods in Portland, one of our better kept secrets, and I'm sure you want to keep it that way. But it's nice to let other neighborhoods know that they've got some good competition out there, and I think this will make your neighborhood even better. So thank you very much for your participation. I vote aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Excellent presentation. Please read the 10:15 time, sir.
Item 14:59, accept the status report on the labor management committees in city bureaus.
More than a year ago, the city created a citywide labor management committee, or LMC, and adopted a framework for city bureaus, city bureau LMCs, as a result of the Bureau Innovation Project Goal Number 6. I'm pleased to co-sponsor this report with all of the council members. I believe the work being done by the citywide LMC and individual bureau LMCs is building trust and strengthening the relationship between labor and management. I'd like to turn the presentation over to the co-chairs of the Citywide Labor Management, Carol Stalky from ASME, and Chief Dave Sprando of the Fire Bureau.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
I'm Dave Sprando. I'm here representing the Citywide LMC as one of the co-chairs, along with Carol. And I'd like to thank her for her work, working with me so far. It's been a pleasure. We'd like to provide the status report for you. The LMC framework was adopted by Council on August 23rd and directed all bureaus with 12 or more represented employees to have active labor management committees to address issues of mutual concern in a spirit of partnership and common purpose. Subsequently, a citywide LMC was created. The primary purpose of that LMC was to assure that the individual LMCs in the bureau are functioning well. And as part of that, we're required to submit this report. At this time, I'd like to introduce, read the names of individuals who are on the citywide LMC. And I would indicate to you that these are individuals who have sort of steered this all along and made it all happen. And I would ask individuals, which I know some are in the room, to stand and be recognized as I read their name. As citywide LMC committee members, labor members are Richard Beadle. Thank you, Richard. Mark Bello, Richard Beadle is of the Laborers Union, Mark Bello of COPIA, Ken Burns of the Portland Firefighters Association, and Carol, who is here with me. If I missed anybody else, stand up when I call your name. The additional members are Dave Benson of the PPCOA, James Hefster of AFSCME DCTU, Robert King of PPA, Scott Lucy of the Machinist Union, Steve Yost of the Operating Engineers, and we have a vacancy right now from the recreational employees. The management members are Yvonne Deckard of BHR, Sue Keel of PDOT, Sue Klobertans of Revenue Bureau, Dean Marriott of BES, Zari Zantner, which I believe is here, Zari. Thank you. Paul Scarlett of Developmental Services, David Shaft of Water, Rosie Sizer Police, myself, and Lisa Turley from BOEC. Members of the resource team, labor representatives are John Bailey of COPIA, who I believe is here, Sherry Harris of the Operating Engineers, John Wheeler of AFSCME, and the commissioner's representatives also who have helped us along, Shannon Callahan of Commissioner Saltzman's office, Jim Middaugh of Commissioner Sten's office, Sarah Petrosini of Commissioner Leonard's office, Austin Raglione of the Mayor's office, and Terry Richardson of Commissioner Adams' office. Additionally, our support is our facilitators, Joe Hertzberg, who is in the room also, and Larry Nelson of OMF. And I know I took a lot of time doing that, but I also would want to let you know that a lot of people have sat down under somewhat uncomfortable circumstances and started working things out, and I really think they deserve recognition for that. All of the bureaus with 12 or more represented employees now have active LMCs, and every bargaining unit participates in either one or more. In front of you, you have detailed reports from each of those who says essentially where they are right now and how they operate. Their assessments, we ask them to assess themselves where they believe they are right now. We've grouped that into three areas: mature, developing, and startup. And mature are those who have worked through significant issues. Those are BDS, COPIA, DCTU, Bureau of Emergency Communications, AFSCME, Portland Fire and Rescue, Portland Firefighters Association, and the Water Bureau, COPIA, DCTU, LMC. And it would indicate that some of these have been in effect for a number of years, and some are just startups, but they're well on their way to solving problems for us. The developing bureaus are those who have addressed some real issues: the Planning Bureau, COPIA, DCTU, LMC, the Portland Police Bureau, DCTU, PPA, PPCOA, the Portland Fire and Rescue, which is a new one for us, which is our COPIA, DCTU, LMC, and the Portland Parks and Recreation, COPIA, DCTU, and Recreation, LMC. The startups, who are individuals who are just feel that they're laying the groundwork, and I would indicate that this report is a month or so old, so they may be farther along than this, are Bureau of Environmental Services, COPIA, DCTU, Bureau of Technology Services, COPIA, DCTU, LMC, Office of Management and Finance, COPIA, DCTU, LMC, Office of Neighborhood Involvement, DCTU, LMC, Office of Transportation, COPIA, DCTU, and the Bureau of Revenue, COPIA, DCTU, LMC. I would indicate you'll notice that I'm saying the labor unions a lot more than I am our bureau, so I think it should be recognized that the labor unions are represented on a number of these, and it stretched their resources, and I thank them for doing that. Now I'll turn it over to Carol for accomplishments.
Thank you, Dave. And it has been a pleasure to work with Dave Sprando as co-chair on the citywide LMC. I want to thank all of you on council for making this happen. I've seen absolute magic happen. I've also realized this is not the most perfect process in the world, but we're all at the table, and that's much better than not being there. So I'm going to talk about the accomplishments of individual bureau LMCs. I'm going to go in alphabetical order so that nobody feels like they've been left out or I have favorites. BDS, to level the playing field, they created a hiring subcommittee and involved all of the involved the recruitment and hiring of every position in the Bureau. And then at BOIC, we adopted a bullying policy after Bureau-wide dialogue. We identified the retention and recruitment issues together using the interest-based problem solving. At the Fire Bureau, the PFFA used their LMC to develop the consensus on all non-economic issues in the previous full round of bargaining. At Parks, they dedicated their newsletter to introduce the LMC, including the photos and bios of all the members. They've also strategized ways of how to engage the workforce differently so they're not just another committee from the city reporting to the employees. So that's working out good there. At PDOT, they've took an opportunity this year to solve a problem before the inclement weather showed up. They worked together and got it solved this year. It was very impressive to me. Planning, they received 100% response on the employee survey for them to determine and prioritize the issues for their LMC to address. At police, we're working on the hiring issues, recruitment, and retention for both sworn and non-sworn. And we just met last week. I just want to add a personal note. We talked about whether we should separate the sworn and non-sworn into their own LMCs, and the entire group decided not to. To stay together, that we can get a lot more done together. We can help each other. That was pretty exciting to me because I was feeling like maybe we should separate. Then at the Water Bureau, we've been able to rectify a substandard wage for the apprentice program. I believe they used to be at $9 just a few short years ago, and that's a critical program for the Water Bureau, and we've raised the base wage. Then let's see. Then at the citywide LMC. Nope, that's Dave needs to talk next, and then I talk about the citywide. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. There have been challenges along the way, and as you can imagine, they're maybe more substantial in this setting than it is in others, but I would tell you that the group as a whole has met those challenges pretty substantially. One was communications in particular, not just communications within the LMCs, but communications out to the other employees. I think I heard it put one way, the LMC means that labor's sold out to management and management sold out to labor. So you have some things to overcome with that. But I would tell you there's been a lot of work done on improving communication to the employees. And I won't go through the list, but there's been some very unique ideas about how to get information out, newsletters, internet, brown bags, staff meetings, and we're learning something on ways to get information out from a number of groups. Yeah, I mean, this issue was large enough that the city LMC in June decided to put together a subcommittee that is working specifically on the best practices and support for communication for each of the Bureau LMC. So that will be something coming out of the city LMC. The other challenge was the question of cost sharing for facilitation and other needs and training. It was decided early on by the full MC that well, you can't just throw people in a room and expect them to start making this work well. Actually, as a result of that, originally it was thought it would be shared equally and that would all work, but it was found later on that there's definitely a difference in ability to pay, particularly for the labor organizations who are in many of these LMCs. Thanks to the city LMC requesting a joint pool of funds through the bump process, and thanks to the council, we've been assured we'll approve $50,000 in the fall bump to come from general funds. Labor has allocated $25,000 for this pool to be used for training and facilitation as needed, and bureaus will need to supply 25% of those needs for each LMC. So the resources are there to help each of those along. Thank you.
On the citywide LMC, now the LMCs are making a significant contribution to the effectiveness, efficiency, morale, customer service, and the fairness in some of the bureaus. Co-chaired by Dave and I, the citywide LMC oversees the process and lends support as needed. The citywide is addressing major challenges right now, as Dave has mentioned, is the communication. We've created the subcommittee and doing our homework. We've also created a subcommittee on the sick leave issue and defining it. Also the cost sharing that Dave has mentioned. The third is the facilitation and training. The Bureau LMCs, there are five qualified firms that has been chosen by the Joint Labor Management Selection Committee. And so the LMCs won't have to go through their own RFP process, you know, by the Bureau. I think that's it. I just want to thank you again. I want to thank all the directors and commissioners for supporting us in the effort.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
No one else signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Carol, Buzz, Cherry, John, everyone in the labor side of our partnership and all the managers and all the staff, facilitators, HR. Thanks for your participation in this. This is Commissioner Leonard has been the one that has really pushed this, and I think it has yielding good results. It's hard work sometimes, but I think it's good hard work. So I'm happy to support this and strongly encourage it in the future. Aye.
Leonard?
Well, a well-functioning labor management system really challenges the traditional approach to solving problems. And that's putting it politely. Heretofore, the approach from management has been pretty much to draw the line and not discuss those kinds of issues that are dealt with in the collective bargaining agreement until the collective bargaining agreement is up for renegotiation. On labor side, definitely not to agree to do things differently that are protected by the collective bargaining agreement. And a well-run labor management system challenges that so that, for an example, at the 911 center, the managers out there agreed to sit and talk about raising the compensation for employees who are dispatchers who had identified one of the major reasons for understaffing is not paying enough. So during the midterm of the contract, agreed to a 5% wage increase. On the employee side, they, for that same reason, agreed to rework their vacation scheduling, which was protected by the contract. Both sides ended up on the management side, I think, felt a little bit like Dave said, like they could rightfully be accused of giving in to labor. And on labor side, had to go back to their members and explain why they agreed to give up something they had protected in the contract. So if both sides are feeling very uneasy and very queasy about the agreements they're reaching at labor management, it means by definition it's working very well. Because that's the forum needs to be one where not just labor advocates advocate and management advocates advocate, but where they try to resolve problems. And to do that means you have to drop any pretenses of refusing to talk about a subject because it's not something that's required to be talked about because the contract is already signed. And where we've seen the greatest successes in the city is where both sides have agreed to approach labor management with that frame of reference. And it's it sounds simple, it is very challenging to do. I've heard managers before say, you know, why did I work so hard my whole life to get up the chain of command just to sit here and have somebody from the labor union tell me I can't do something? And I've heard labor people complain to me, how am I supposed to? I agree that the change you want us to do makes sense, but how am I going to explain that to the members who are going to be angry with me? And thus you kind of get into the conundrum of a well-functioning labor management system. It means people are responsible for decisions that they make. It means that they can't just come and make campaign speeches at a committee meeting. They have to actually talk about real problems and real solutions. And it's exciting to hear where we're at. We're not there yet. I mean, we're still growing, and we're still actually coming to terms with some of those issues in the various bureaus, and there's challenges, ongoing challenges on both sides. It isn't just a one-sided phenomena that folks aren't always comfortable with this kind of a process, but I think it works, and where we have really worked hard, it works well, and I'm really looking forward to getting us to that next level, and I think I see growth happening. It's really exciting. Thank you. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, good job to the citywide LMC. It's very impressive, the results, the evolving results. They seem to be showing very positive indications. I want to thank the leadership, Carol and Chief Sprando in particular. But this is certainly something that we need in every city bureau, and it looks like now we have it in every city bureau in addition to having a citywide. So thank you for each selling out to each other to make this work.
Stan.
Not sure how to follow that. I do appreciate everyone's work. I think we've set this up well, and I think the conditions are in place for a lot of success. And I say that very purposefully because I think it takes a lot of work to get the conditions in place. And I think it's work that, for good reasons, has to just be done almost every month. I mean, I think things happen and leaders change and bureau managers change, and we have to just keep on this monthly. I think we're ready now. We've done some great stuff on a bureau level. We've got terrific labor leaders, and I think most of the solutions to our problems lie with our workforce trying to figure things out and help us know the actual answers. And so I think this committee is ready to. This moment won't last just because things will change. And I want this committee to think about taking on some of these tough issues, the sick leave in particular, and the ones you mentioned, over the next couple of months, and see if we can't get to where we have a lot of goodwill, we have great communication. I think we're as good as we've been on labor management cooperation, so let's see what we can do with it. So my ultimate compliment is to say I think you're ready to get to the next level, thanks to the leadership of Carol and Chief Sprando and all the people working on this. And I see Joe Hertzberger's been working very hard on this too. So good work, everybody. Aye.
Potter.
You know, I want to thank all the folks on the committee and the efforts that you've been making. Early in my tenure as mayor, we were looking at some citywide activities that we could initiate that would have a profound impact on how we deliver services, how we communicate with each other and our relationships with each other and the community. And it was in a discussion with Commissioner Leonard that he was talking to me about the impact that labor management committees had on the bureaus that he was responsible for. And that was added to the 20 bureau improvement projects. And I really appreciate all of the efforts of this council and the labor unions in working together. It's not an easy process, and yet it's so important because ultimately it impacts how we deliver those services to our community, and I think that our community deserves the very best. I think LMCs help provide the format and the structure to make that happen, so I want to thank you all. Thank you, Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you very much.
I vote aye. Move to the regular agenda. Please read item 1479.
Amend code to reflect current structure and operations in the Office of Management and Finance.
Staff.
Good morning, Mary Potter, members of the council. For the record, I'm Ken Russ, the director of the Office of Management and Finance. The ordinance in front of you this morning would replace code chapter section, chapter rather, 3.15 and amend chapters 5.04 and 5.20 to really reflect the current organization of the Office of Management and Finance. Over the years, there have been a number of changes to the organization, and the code was simply outdated. This is a pretty major housekeeping effort, but it does reflect the current organization and the duties and responsibilities that have been assigned to it. With that, if there are any questions, I have Tom Feely here, Business Operations Manager, but before I turn it back to you, I also want to acknowledge the hard work of Jane Brayton, a policy analyst in the Office of Management and Finance, who had the job of actually doing all the rewrite and working with our bureau and different bureaus inside of OMF to make it happen, and it was a lot of work and long overdue, but this does really reflect more clearly the responsibilities of my office, and be happy to take any questions.
questions for the folks? Thank you. Has anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read item 1480.
Vacate a portion of Southwest Gaines Street between Southwest 15th and 16th Avenues, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
It's a second reading. Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Sten.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1481.
Vacate a portion of Northwest 9th Avenue, north of Northwest Overton Street, subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1482.
Consent to transfer of Hoffman Sanitary Residential Solid Waste and Recycling Collection Franchise to Waker Sanitary Service.
Second reading, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. We'll go back to those items pulled from the consent agenda. Please read items 1462 and 63 together.
1462, change the salary range of non-represented classification of procurement supervisor. 1463, change the salary range of three non-represented classifications, chief deputy city auditor, archivist and record center supervisor, and council support contract supervisor.
Mr. Count, are you here? Mr. Cowan?
I don't see him.
Okay, please call a vote on those two.
1462 is a non-emergency.
Okay, moves to a second reading.
And 1463, Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Sten?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1473.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with school districts to collect and remit a construction excise tax.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Denise Klein. I'm with the Bureau of Development Services, and here with me today is David Wind. He's a board member with Portland Public Schools from the school board. Thank you for moving this off consent to regular. I appreciate that. Before you today is an ordinance that allows the city to enter into IGAs with several school districts. It's based on Senate Bill 1036 that was adopted by the 2007 legislature. And that authorizes school districts to levy construction excise taxes to fund capital improvements to school facilities. It gets levied on new structures or additional square footage of existing structures and is collected when the building permit is collected. The legislation authorized building departments to actually do the collection of those fees for the school districts. And the fees are $1 per square foot for residential, 50 cents square foot for commercial structures. So we began working on this IGA. And as you know, our service area includes areas outside of the city limits based on the 1986 agreement with Multnomah County on who we serve for our building permit issuance and inspections. So in the ordinance you have before you, that's why you see quite a number of school districts that are have some area that is actually outside the city limits, but frankly is within our service area. There's a total of 11. In working on this project, I found something to be quite extraordinary. And what I found was that when we talked with the building officials in the local area and the school districts in the local area, there's one thing everyone agreed to, and that is let's all try our best to have a standard IGA and standard processes so everyone, at least in the metro area, is doing the same thing. Because every jurisdiction has multiple school districts in their area, and every school district has multiple jurisdictions that will be collecting the tax. And it worked very well. There was no overall agency that was guiding us. There was no one telling us what to put exactly in the IGA. It was just a number of like-minded people working together to come up with an IGA that worked for everybody. So if you read IGAs from other cities, it's going to look very similar to the one that's before you today. What you have is not an IGA for 11 districts, but rather one that has a blank, fill in the blanks. So as each district decides when to implement the tax, then the ordinance authorizes BDS to fill in the blank with the name of the school district and the date of implementation. And if there's other little minor details, then we would add that too. From what we know, there's two districts that want to move forward. Beaverton, we're confirming the date, but they're looking at January 1 implementation, and Portland Public Schools is looking at January 15th.
Go ahead.
Thank you. I'm here not only on behalf of the Portland School District, but on behalf of the other 11 school districts as well. As I'm sure you will recall, the whole issue of capital funding is an urgent one for school districts throughout the state and throughout the metropolitan area, in some cases for different reasons. There's some school districts with dramatic increases in population who are looking to build new buildings and desperate for funding to be able to do that. There are some of us who don't necessarily have any dramatic increases in population but have fairly drastically old buildings that we need to do something about. So we appreciate the state legislature giving local school districts the opportunity to levy this excise tax, and we're greatly appreciative of the City Council and your staff in moving forward with us in a timely way to set things up in order to be able to do that. A couple of things in particular we wanted to express our appreciation for. We wanted to thank Denise and her staff for their efforts in working with us collectively to develop these agreements, and in particular, including a provision that the city will withhold the permit unless people pay the tax. That way we don't, as individual school districts, have to act as collection agents, and that will save everybody a lot of grief. The other thing I wanted to thank you for is the legislation allows for the collecting agency to retain 1% of the proceeds of this tax to cover your costs. We recognize collectively that it's entirely possible that that is not absolutely adequate to cover your costs, and so we do appreciate the fact that there is continued support on the part of the city for school districts through this mechanism. And overall, it's another example of something I've seen in four and a half years on the school board, which is that the city has acted as a really strong and really cooperative partner with school districts. We're working together in a collaborative way in so many more ways than we were years ago, and this is another example of that. And not only Portland Public Schools, but all the school districts, both in the city and in the surrounding area, greatly appreciate that. So we thank you.
Thank you.
I'm curious, David, how much revenue does PPS anticipate in the first year, I guess?
The range that we have heard varies anywhere from $2 million to $8 million. I don't think we know until we start collecting it. At this point, just to give you some perspective on that, we don't have a capital bond in Portland right now, and we are spending about $3 million out of our general fund, which is not even a minimally adequate amount. So this is, even if we're at the low end, or certainly in the mid-range of that amount, it's a significant amount of money, and it will allow us, as it will other school districts, to have a source of revenue. It's not going to fund building a brand new school every year or anything like that, but it's certainly a step in the right direction in terms of being able to replace roofs, boiler systems, windows, and a whole variety of things that we all need to be doing. And in the cases of districts that do need to add new facilities, it's certainly going to help provide funding to be able to do that.
Thank you, folks, very much.
Thank you.
Good work.
Great. Before you leave, Denise, I'm looking over here the list. It looks like we've captured all the districts that are in Portland.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't see anybody here to testify unless one of the two Argonian reporters would like to comment on this.
They'll wait till later.
I would like to know your thoughts. Tell them to testify.
I'll bet he would.
Tell them.
Yeah. You can read.
Yeah, Argonian appreciation.
Proclaim your day. Yes.
Yeah.
We'll stand with you, take our picture.
This is an emergency. Please call a vote.
Adams?
Really excellent work. Thanks. Aye.
Leonard?
Thank you, Denise. You've done a great job again. She's an outstanding employee at the Bureau of Development Services. Aye.
Saltzman.
Good job, Denise, and we're happy that the Portland School District is one of the first to step up and take advantage of this new excise tax the legislature allows school districts now to collect, and we know the money will be spent well. Aye.
Stan.
Well, I agree, and thanks, Dave. It's a pleasure working with you and the school board and the other school boards in Portland, and this is also the result of a lot of good negotiation down in the legislative session. Cities, I think people may recall, had different views on this, and I was at the time on the League of City Board, which Commissioner Saltzman's taking my place on in January, and so this was something that I think a lot of cities spent a lot of time working on, making sure that they could support this. And so it's sometimes I think some of these small things look as if, and a couple $1 million in facilities is not small to PPS by any stretch of the imagination, but a couple of these things look like they just kind of happen. And this was one where I think local government really worked hard with the school districts and superintendents and school boards to make this happen. So it's exciting, and look forward to seeing some new boilers and maybe some things on the playgrounds and all sorts of stuff. Aye.
Potter.
Good job, folks. Vote aye. Recessed until 2 p.m.